Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Sharon Ramsey Curtis. Each week, we visit with authors of all kinds and sometimes editors, teachers, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write, give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. And we're very pleased to have Sharon Ramsey Curtis with us today. Sharon has lived a very varied and multifaceted creative life. She's been a poet, a teacher, a potter, a painter in watercolors, a maker of drawings, collector of words, and a raconteur. Recently, she turned her attention to creating children's stories. Her first book, Edward Cupboard, is now in print, and she has plans for a second story. So, Sharon, you like to call yourself a creative, making the adjective into a noun rather than an artist. What does this word mean to you, and how does it more accurately describe your activities as an artist?
Well, for me, it means artists sometimes seems to be a little bit limiting. I use the word creative because I like the concept of learning to think creatively in everything. I have a friend who does a pizza party every Friday, and I'm always trying to think of kind of crazy things that I can take there. The combinations, sliced apple and blue cheese on top of a pizza. So, and I'm a gardener, so when I see a piece of trash along the side of the road, I think, okay, well, maybe that little screen door would look nice attached to a tree over here. I always just am on the lookout for creative solutions. And in the early days, my painting was very traditional. I learned from people who had a traditional lineage. And so, you know, I learned the dark against light, small into large, and all of those sort of traditional ways. But as I grew older, I found that that's really kind of stilted my growth as an artist, because I end up being a little judgmental about certain things that don't follow certain rules, and I'm trying to sort of let that go and just be crazy, just do all kinds of interesting things. And if that works, good. If it doesn't, well, then we'll go on to something else. So I just look for creative solutions to everything, and art, it's just one of the things in my life, and that's why it is a little crazy, all those things that I've done. And I sometimes think people sort of say, oh, well, she just has no focus. but the thing is, the older I get, the more I try to be open to all kinds of things that come into my world and say, oh, I could use that for this, or I could use that for that. And so that sort of means maybe learning to be a photographer, or maybe I have no idea what it might mean. And it's thrilling to me to sort of be in the start of my seventh decade, and instead of finding life sort of closing in, which I sort of thought it would, you know, when I got old, I'm finding it's opening more and more and more, and the more it opens, the more it opens. I meet people, they have interesting things going on in their life, and I say, wow, well, let me have a look at that.
Maybe you can fit it in yours.
Well, that's the problem.
But you told me that the focus of your work, even though you are saying, you know, it's expanded, but that you did tell me that it had shifted over the years from the finished project to a deeper concern with the process and the journey. So could you tell us a bit more about this?
Well, and that's part of that same kind of package. Right. Like I used to think, well, when my kids were little, I painted a picture of the cottage, and I wanted to have it to hang on the wall for them to remember, and so on and so forth. And I really did focus on having a good picture, well painted by the current standards of art, kind of. But now I'm just way less focused on that, and I just think, okay, what did I learn from this process? What else do I need to learn to make this work, and so on.
So your work's changed, and it's freer now, is it?
Yes. And it's interesting because I haven't been doing a lot of actually watercolor painting lately, and I'm wanting to get back to it. In fact, a young friend of mine is offering a course to people who have no art experience at all, and they're doing some crazy interesting things, painting with mud and just all kinds of nutsy things. And I'm hoping to take a few of her classes because the minute I start, I pick up a paintbrush and a piece of watercolor paper, I find I'm back doing the same thing that I did before. So I need to let go of that.
I see. Well, so what's prompted you to take up writing then, Sharon? You illustrated Edward Covered, but did you become involved in developing the text? And was the layout of the book your responsibility?
Interesting. A friend of mine, Dan Cullen, came to me maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and he said, my mom wrote these stories. At that time, she was 85, and my mom wrote these stories for us when we were boys. And she's always wanted someone to illustrate them. Would you illustrate them? And I demurred. I sort of said, oh, no, that's not the kind of thing I do. I do flowers and rocks and trees and streams and stuff. I just don't do that. And he said, okay, well, then he walked away. But I found myself kind of waking up in the morning with ideas of what I could do with this story. I had a pair of bears that I had bought for used in kindergarten, a boy and a girl, and the story was about a boy bear. And I just kept waking up and having ideas about how I could create a painting with Edward in it. From there, it's been an interesting progression. I knew nothing about computer stuff at all. I sent the paintings to Dan. I made very poor reproductions on my very poor printer. And I sent them to him, and he did it all. He put the pictures in the places where they were supposed to go. I had done some of the story, but he combined what his mother had done and so on. And he sent it away to Create Space, and we had it printed. When it came back, I was appalled in terms of the story writing, because I taught kindergarten for 25 years, and there were things in the story that there were threads that would start over here and then never be picked up, and there were just issues of all kinds of stuff in the story. The concept was great, but there were all kinds of issues in the story that just weren't right. His mom got a look at the published copy, and she died a couple of months later. So she was thrilled. They weren't thrilled, but she had seen her work in print. And I think for Dan, that was all that really mattered. She was really happy with that. I said, I don't want to go any further with this. I want to do a rewrite. I want to take the concept of Edward Covered and work with that and make it into the kind of story that I could tell in a kindergarten class. And he and his siblings thought about it for a while, and they came back to me and said, okay, go ahead and do that. So that what I'm going to read from you today is basically, this is the second copy of Edward Covered. It has really good color reproductions because I got myself a good printer, a scanner printer, and I had learned a whole lot through that whole process. So,
well, please read to us from Edward Covered and comment on the accompanying illustrations so people know where the illustrations come.
Well, the illustrations, they're mostly Edward clothed and unclothed, because that's kind of one of the fun things of the story. In the second version, I added a few more pictures. There were fewer in the beginning, and I added a few more. And this is basically, I'm learning about this, this is an early reader book. This is not a picture book. This is an early reader book. Mm-hmm. It's it's an early chapter book.
Right. So it has illustrations rather than being pictures with text.
Yes. Right. The illustrations go along with the text. Yeah. So I will read you chapter 1, which is called The Toy Shop. The little boy was very excited because today he was going shopping with his mother. He very much liked to go to town. There were always so many interesting things to see, and he especially loved the toy shop. He loved to look at all the interesting things in the window. By the time they both put their coats on and took the bus to town, the little boy could wait no longer. "Mommy, please, may I go and look in the toy shop? Please, please, please?" The little boy's mother smiled fondly. "Yes, you may," she said. "You know where it is. Off you go. Have fun." The little boy ran all the way to the toy shop. When he reached it, he couldn't believe his eyes. He did not know where to look first. There in the back of the window was a huge, brightly colored beach ball and some brave-looking soldiers with bright red coats. Off to one side, there was an ambulance with a big red cross and a bright red light on top. At the front, he saw a large yellow transport truck. It was all very exciting. The little boy forgot all about the other toys when he saw the teddy bear. It was golden brown and fluffy, quite the best teddy bear he had ever seen, with big soft ears, a smiling little mouth, and bright sparkling eyes. The teddy bear winked at him, and the little boy was startled. He did not know how, but he was sure that the teddy bear could see everything that was happening in the street. "Please, please, may I have that teddy bear?" he begged his mother as she came out of the butcher's shop. "It's the sweetest, most lovely bear I have ever seen." "Well," said Mummy, "it's almost Christmas. Maybe Santa will bring you a teddy bear." Every night until Christmas, the boy wished and wished. Every night as he said his prayers, he asked for Santa to bring him that very teddy bear. Then he would cross his fingers of each hand and go to sleep. It had to be that bear. No other bear would do. He just knew that bear was magic.
Thank you, Sharon. Now we'll take a short break.